Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Happy Wednesday, gents.
Happy Wednesday. Tough day at work today.
And what a Wednesday it is. Look at the weather.
Oh, yes.
Exactly.
The weather's almost kind of in between all different types of weather today. I can't quite describe what it is.
Exactly.
Very difficult to describe, certainly.
Exactly. Well, this is the midweek domestic podcast. Shall we put our hands in and we can pod on three? Hang on. Don't do that, because this horrific media player which I use, the Windows standard media player which I use, is literally the worst bit of kit ever. Okay,
just get yourself a different bit of media player.
Oh, I hate it so much. All right, hands in, pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Pod.
Hello and welcome to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, midweek domestic podcast special edition. I'm JB, down here in the rugby dungeon, alongside my old friend Phil. Hello, Philip.
Hello, JB.
And of course, from his remote location, it's the man who lives in the Egg Chasers shipping container. It's Tim. How are you, Tim?
In the TMO, the Egg Chasers TMO shipping container. Yeah.
Nice and cosy down there, mate.
Yeah, well, I've been here since Sunday, so now it's Wednesday, obviously. So, yeah, I'm settling right in.
Yeah, the thing about shipping containers are it is very mobile, so it affords you a good quality of life.
Yes.
There's actually, where I stay when I'm down in London, there is actually a place about it's, I can see it out my window now, it's about 150 metres away, called a box park. And there was one in Shoreditch, and now there's one where I am, and it's like hipster central. Every type of hipster restaurant, cafe you can imagine have all moved into shipping containers that have been assembled in this.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yep.
I've been past the one in... I've not actually been in, but I know the one in Shoreditch.
Amazing. What goes on? Amazing. Well, actually, I say that. There is a bar in Manchester which has got a shipping container for its toilets.
Is there?
Yeah, there is. I'm trying to think what it's called. It's a Jamaican-y bar. Turtle.
All these shipping containers that are being misappropriated, they should be used for shipping things or being used for TMO decisions and nothing else.
Yeah. Exactly. Who'd have thought you'd get so much material from shipping containers on a rugby podcast? Incredible, eh? So what have we got on the agenda, Tim?
Well, we're talking about domestic rugby, which means we're talking about the Avicii Premiership.
Oh!
If you're listening and thinking, why aren't you talking about all the wonderful international rugby? Well, then you've clicked on the wrong podcast. We've already done one all about that, and that's why you should subscribe to the podcast, because then we will make sure every episode gets sent straight to you.
Sorry, I'm just having a bit of a nightmare.
Are you currently
trying to get Avicii?
Yeah.
No. Maybe.
So predictable.
That's a worthy pursuit. That's worth the wait, JB. I'd wait for that for... You've got loads of time before I'd get bored of waiting for Avicii.
Well, I know. Why don't you tell listeners about our good friends at Cornerstone whilst I find some Premiership music?
Well, they make international... I mean, if Cornerstone Razors were a rugby player, who would you say they are, Phil? Who's kind of in domestic rugby terms?
Domestic rugby... Razor sharp, precision engineered. I'm thinking someone like Christian Wade.
Interesting. That is interesting. But I've got a question for you. This is a genuine rugby question. Who is the sharpest director of rugby? And I mean, in the way they dress. I mean, as in like their mental capacity just to answer questions quickly, being fairly witty, thinking on their feet.
Have being someone who's interviewed most of them, I think Tim would definitely be best placed to answer that.
Because they all seem a bit...
I'm just going round the grounds. Do you know, genuinely, this... Do you know one person whose eloquence and directness in what they say and just skill as a communicator
I know who
I think Richard Cockerell.
Do you know what? That's weird. I was about to say the same one.
Wow.
That's the one I was thinking of, because he is quite witty, isn't he? Not witty, but he's quite sharp.
Yeah, well, bearing in mind, he's a carpenter or something, wasn't he?
Yeah.
His background's quite kind of blue collar. He's kind of spit and sawdust kind of guy. But he actually, when you talk to him, he answers more directly, succinctly and clearly than I think any other director of rugby in the Avicii Premiership.
Yeah.
I'm always impressed by him.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Because most of them are quite guarded, aren't they? They won't get much from McCall. You do get quite a lot from Humphreys.
No, McCall's just got kind of a quiet, calm demeanour. They're all very forthcoming.
Hmm.
Huh. I used to really like chatting with Mike Ford. Rob Baxter is just the nicest man ever. Oh, and Todd Blackadder is like man crush on that guy. He's a lovely, just an unbelievably lovely man.
I'm impressed by Blackadder.
Well, you know, it's funny you mention Cockerell. The first time he met, first time he met Garforth and, not West, is Cockerell, Garforth, who's the other one? Roundtree, of course.
Yeah.
Right? They were in the back of a van on the way to a game following a bit of a night out.
Really?
Yeah, apparently. that's how I remember the story. But it's strange, isn't it, that you have a guy whose background is basically, I think he's a bricklayer by trade, and now he has a job which is, you know, equivalent to basically a board level job.
Yeah.
Just because of rugby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. Richard Cockerell is the most cornerstone director of rugby.
And, you know, he keeps his head all over, top bottom, nice and trim with a cornerstone razor, the best razor on the market, which you can get for just £4 on your first order. You can sample why it is voted the best razor ahead of Wilkinson Sword, ahead of Gillette, by getting your first order for £4, and that's because you can get a £10 discount with your first order and a free engraved aluminium shaft to go with your new razors by going to cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or
Egg10 at checkout.
Very, very briefly, we've had a couple of reviews on iTunes. Paddy Ratboy 9 says, cracking chat from some... yeah, I know. Cracking chat from some serious rugby non-aficionados as Rolls-Royce's Joe Roth, but without the Alex Cuthbert skill levels of mainstream rugby pod media.
Yeah, have that.
And Millwall Ever says, love rugby, love the pod. Tim, Phil and JB are as snappy as a James Horwell finger.
Ooh, no. Ugh.
Oh, James Horwell, who is apparently lined up to play next weekend.
What's that about?
Wow. That is quite incredible.
Yeah, it
really is.
It's an amazing recovery.
Yeah.
as they would say in Australia, bloody oath.
Yeah. Do you reckon we're not going to say this anymore, are we? Because Dean, your mate Ryan, Ben Ryan told us off. But do you reckon he had the same surgery as Naholo did?
Yeah, I saw the Fijian doctor.
Ben Ryan did put us straight on that.
Yeah, he wasn't a witch doctor and it wasn't a serious fracture. It sounded like a serious fracture and it sounded exactly like a witch doctor, actually.
And it was 6 weeks, not 6 days. I think you're fine, guys.
So, yeah, sorry, Ben. Right, let's get into the Avicii Premiership then.
Yes.
Oh, and I've just ruined it.
So, a bit of mixing there.
Yeah. Well, ever since chatting to Hask, I'm into it now. let's go with Bristol, Leicester. Did anyone see this?
No. This was a Friday night game.
Bits and bobs.
Yeah, it was a miserable game because there wasn't much in the way of scoring. The significant part to me, though, is Bristol have improved dramatically in the space of 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay, so you think the Andy Robinson release has actually had the desired effect, or is starting to have the desired effect?
Yeah. Well, yes, and I think I want to say, I keep wanting to call him Rainford or Reedford. What is his name? The new director of rugby, Mark something. Tatum. Taunton, whatever it is. Whoever he is and whatever he's done in the past, which I haven't heard particularly much of, he seems to be doing a pretty reasonable job. Now, this isn't a full Leicester team, don't get me wrong. And they've rested quite a few players and they've got quite a few out on international. But it is a Leicester team and it's a pretty good one at that. So to only go down by five points.
Yeah.
It's not a bad effort, actually.
They can probably they get a bonus point out of it, which is definitely something. I'm kind of optimistic that their trajectory is on the right path anyway.
Yeah, they're going down. They're building. At this point, yeah. I don't see them. Who's the team next to them?
So Worcester have only won one game.
Is that right? It feels like they're much better than that.
Yeah, because Worcester have drawn two. So Worcester on 10 points. Bristol are on 4 points. They had four losing bonus points from their 9 games. And Worcester are on 10 points. And then Gloucester, Sale and Newcastle are all level on 18 points.
Yeah.
So you'd say really, I mean, Bristol are way off and Worcester are also a decent way off the rest of the pack.
Yeah, see, I have actually thought that Worcester look in pretty good shape. They play nice rugby. Inadvertently, their squad depth has been tested with all their injuries. And now they're getting some of these senior guys back. They might do pretty well. They're not going to do that well, are they? Because they are second bottom.
And we spoke about it before where they've had home games and they've got to back themselves at home, particularly on the plastic pitch, against the easier teams and not come out on top. So they're not going to impress particularly, I don't think.
Did you see the Northampton game?
I did.
What do you think of that one then? Was it possibly the worst game of rugby ever played?
The last 10 minutes or so was exciting. Less than 10 minutes.
I'd love to know what the knock-on stats for this were.
It wasn't pretty, was it?
It was horrendous. I mean, it was some of the worst stuff I think I've ever seen. Northampton are completely rudderless now. I don't care what anyone says. I mean, they might be able to put a run of games together, but as a as a serious Premiership force, they've got to be done now. It's just over.
But it's the way that they're playing, because they've got the players. They've lost a few people to internationals, but they've still got a lot of good international players.
Yeah,
and I think Ugo Monier made the point that their back line are just not playing like a cohesive unit. We've made it previously, but they're taking the ball so deep and so static the defence is just coming up to them and they're going nowhere. They're like, it's like they're treading water, running in treacle.
Well, what would your mindset be if you were Jim Mallinder? Because, again, his stock a year ago even was like incredibly high.
He was spoke about for the England game, the England job potentially.
I'm not a fan of changing directors of rugby, particularly when your director of rugby has gone down with you, got you promoted, won you a title. So he is clearly very good at what he does. But it does feel, the more and more you watch Northampton, the Alex King palaver was just a scapegoating exercise. The thing which really summarised how Northampton play were when they committed 5 men to a dead ruck, they passed it to their stationary hooker, who then span around 180 degrees, passed it back a further 15 yards to Myler, who then put it up and under him. Perfect. There you go. That win your loads.
But also, 5 minutes to go, they're 1 point up, and they throw a risky offload for a Gonniver intercept.
Yeah.
Who goes 75 metres and dots down.
Occasions like this, you sometimes think, am I being too harsh on the winning side? Am I doing them a disservice by saying Northampton are terrible and not giving them the credit that they deserve? Well, in this case, no. The whole thing was a mess.
It wasn't pretty.
The whole game was a mess, yeah.
It was not pretty. There's one thing that I can tell you're itching to talk about, Tim.
I can hear it. I can feel it.
It's palpable, the excitement.
Shall we just move on?
Yeah. No.
Go on, Tim.
Go on, Tim.
No, it's not excitement. It's
resignation.
A slight air of resignation. You're not allowed to ruck anymore.
It's over, isn't it, for rucking? It's over.
It's all over.
Yeah, this is a really tough one. Really tough one. It's a red, because he made contact with the head, and that will be that.
This is what I'm coming down to thinking, if we say contact with the head equals red, what you will get is TMOs and referees going, could you just look? Did he make contact with the head? Oh, yes, well, initial contact was on the shoulder, but it brushed up and it glanced the head. Oh, well, we best go with the yellow then.
A crime has been committed, right? No. So it's kind of like, do you know when, do you remember the MP, Chris, is it Chris Hune? He went to jail because he lied about a speeding ticket.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, one thing happened, which is small, and then another thing happened, and then another thing happened, and then before you know it, he is in jail, right? It's that kind of thing. So, the incident itself wasn't really a big deal. I think 99 times out of 100, that would never be pulled back. No one cares. Move on. But the fact of the matter is, Brooks leads in, he hits someone, someone goes backwards, injures the scrum half.
Yeah.
So the refs are like, we need to have a look at how this, how the nine got injured, because Mickey Youngs is facing the wrong way. He lands. The Newcastle guy lands on Mickey Youngs' knee. So they start this little inquiry. So has a crime been committed? Well, yes. It wasn't quite legal rucking. Okay. So what is the crime? Oh, contact with the head. Well, what's the sanction for that? Sanction for that is a red. And it just built and built and built and built. And that is exactly. That's exactly how it happened. I mean, the infuriating thing, I guess, would be the fact that Brooks then got pushed back by someone else into his head.
Yeah.
And he didn't get any sanction whatsoever.
That should have been. I think that could have been a yellow card.
I think that's more
potentially
serious.
Even a red card, because it's reacting.
Yeah, it's reacting.
Yeah.
He's not rucking. It's after the whistle. That's much worse, actually.
Yeah.
So they should have ignored it. That's what they should have done, because if that's legal, most rucks are illegal.
I go back to this again. This is a coaching point for Kieran Brooks, because it was stupid from him, because he dives off his feet.
Got to stay on your feet. I tell the lads at Didsbury Talk H Rugby Club.
ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 ding.
Exactly. That you've got to stay on your feet at all times. That is the absolute that's absolute paramount.
Where is Didsbury Talk H Rugby Club, JB? And when do you train if I wanted to come down and come out of retirement?
We actually train at, I think it's called Simon Fields. It's one of the most idyllic places to play a rugby. It's absolutely phenomenal.
All right, fine. Good. No. Anyway, glad we got that one dealt with.
6:30, Tuesdays, Thursdays, MMU 4G. Where was I with this? I was eulogising about staying on your feet. You could potentially do everything right and do everything legally and still be done for reckless play. So stay on your feet.
Yeah.
Don't let them look back at it.
Yeah.
One other element to this, which I think is relevant to this case, and it was relevant to Matt Luamanu as well. You suddenly put Billy Burns as Billy Burns is the man who made the hit. Instead of Matt Luamanu, and Billy Burns, who was clearing out that ruck. Sorry, Billy Burns. I could have picked someone else, but I couldn't think of anyone. Freddie Burns. One of the Burns brothers made that hit. And it would never be given a red card. There's an element where when there's these massive guys, they're actually being
penalised for it.
Because they're big guys.
Yeah.
And that's not fair. And that's not, right. And that's not rugby.
I think I've changed my mind on the Luamanu one as well. Anyway, let's talk about a different game. Let's talk about the game that you were at, Tim, because that was an interesting one.
It was. Saracens won again, and they've made it 3 from 3 in this international window when they lose an incredible amount of talent.
Yeah.
They still had, in their starting 15, 390 international caps.
Wow.
Which is amazing. Right? So Saracens won again, which is impressive. However, and I used the phrase in a post-match chat with David Humphreys, I think I sort of made some reference, and I used the word, there seems to have been a slight resurgence in Gloucester's play. And he kind of refuted that and said, no, we've been doing this all season. But I would still contend that
nonsense.
The last 2 weeks particularly, and through this international window, Gloucester have seemed to have refined the way they play, changed the way they play, simplified it in a lot of respects, playing quite a lot like Saracens in some respects with the high kicks, a lot of kicks, a big emphasis on the kick chase and massive physicality.
Yeah, they're very physical, aren't they?
And it's working.
And they expend a lot of energy. Mind you, they are third bottom. The performance was good. I think if you're going to, you know, if you worry too much about results and not enough about performance, you're going to go the wrong way. They've got something to build on here, and I think next year it'll probably be their year. I was very impressed with Billy Burns. I think he is looking stronger and stronger each week now. But I was absolutely mystified why, if you're chasing a game, the guy you would turn to would be Billy 12 Trees, unless Burns was an injury. which I don't think
he
was.
He was carrying a knock from the first half.
Was he? Yeah, because I thought that was a very, very odd decision, if they made that as a tactical substitution. Because I don't think I've ever seen a single game of Billy 12 Trees playing at 10 that I've liked.
Oh, if you need someone to close out a game by throwing the ball into touch.
Oh yeah,
he's your man.
Yeah, I mean, if you really, you know, if there's a ball boy you want knocking down a peg or two, you know, Billy 12 Trees is definitely the guy.
You got a two-man overlap. It's a double miss pass straight to the ball boy.
Perfect. Would you be surprised if you see him leave next year? Because he must be on good money because he was club captain.
And England international.
Yeah, so these guys do get paid a fair whack.
If his contract is up, I wouldn't imagine they would renew it because he would have moved for big money. He was an established England player when he moved, so he would be on good wedge.
He has got a trip to France written all over him.
Doesn't he just?
Yeah.
Au revoir.
Oh, you're so right.
Au revoir, Billy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like a lifetime ago that he was an established England international now.
It really does.
Triple threat, kick, pass, run. Couldn't do anything particularly well.
Yeah, you could do all of them just in the loosest possible sense.
I hope he's not listening. I feel really bad now.
I will be interested to see what they do at scrum half, because Willie Hines in these last two games has been really important with the, much like Richard Wigglesworth, controls the game with the boot.
Yeah.
Gloucester now are probably... So Bath and... Interestingly, Bath and Saracens are the two teams that kick more than any other. They're one and two in the league, or were. And now Gloucester are looking a lot better, and they kick just as much, if not slightly more, in the last couple of games than Saracens do.
Yeah, they did. They kicked 11 times more out of hand.
And here's another little stat that I got today. Again, this is the stuff I got through work, nothing I've worked out myself or researched myself like Phil would have done. Gloucester, in their game against in the win against Wasps, they 80% or 79% of the time, the ball went to a one-out runner that wasn't fly half and wasn't passed, went straight into contact.
80% of the time or 79%? Wow.
Well, 79% of the time.
That is a simple game.
Yeah. They played Gatland ball.
This high energy game has really benefited Richard Hibbard. I think he's playing his best rugby since he left Wales, really.
Yeah, he's looking very good.
Patrick Swayze, not so good. Yeah, new contract signed.
Scrimmaging still not so good with Afoa.
No,
they gave away quite a few penalties. In fact, Afoa got yellow carded.
I've given up trying to work out what is wrong with the Gloucester scrum.
McAllister is a big boy and a highly rated scrummager.
Yeah, but
and those two have always been highly rated scrummagers. So
who knows what's going on there. But anecdotally, to back up your point, Tim, about the energy and the work rate of Gloucester, do you know who the Premiership's top tackler is?
I do.
Go on.
Because I mentioned it on the programme today.
Oh,
so
did you?
I won't say it. I'll see if Phil can guess it.
I got it from Twitter on Friday.
I guess Kvesic.
Nope.
Just then.
No, he's hardly been playing. It's
Rowan.
Find this quite a lot in Premiership sides, that locks are the top tacklers.
That's right. It is Tom Savage.
Ah.
He's the first.
Yeah.
I think he's the first guy in the league this year to reach 100 tackles.
Very good.
Yeah.
Ben Morgan, only six behind. You think of Ben Morgan as a ball carrier, which he is, but he made 94 in the same time as well. So
yeah, he was impressive.
That's what happens when you kick a lot, I guess. You have to make lots of tackles.
Yeah. So one thing happened in the post-match interview that I want to tell you about that no one will ever see.
Yes, please.
So I was chatting with, I had the chat with David Humphreys and all the rest of it, and then I spoke with Mark McCall, congratulated him on the win. Asked him about Mario Itoje. All of this you can see through the BT Sport app or the website or whatever. But I asked them to cut the interview off just before the end, which they duly did, because I said to him at the end, congratulations on the win, thanks for your time, and also happy 50th for Tuesday. And the reason I said that is because in the match research notes you get, there was a little paragraph that said... birthday celebrations, blah blah blah, and it just said, oh, you know, Mark McCall will celebrate his a big birthday on Tuesday, he'll be 50 years young. So I just sort of said at the end, I just went, you know, happy birthday, and he shook my hand and said thanks, and then as he was walking out, he turned around and went, I'm 49 on Tuesday. That's not cool.
Ah. Busted, mate.
Has someone stitched you up there, or do you think it was an honest mistake?
No, it was an honest mistake. The stats guy, he's absolutely amazing. You've seen the packs he comes up with, Phil.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
I dream about those packs, Tim.
Yeah, I would be tempted, you know, if I was a stat guy. I mean, I know this isn't how stat guys work, but this is what I'd be tempted to do. It's just slide bits of false information in there. Okay. Congratulations on your same-sex marriage. Just those sort of things.
So there you go. Bit of exclusive stuff that only people that listen to the podcast would ever know.
Well, would you like to know some exclusive stuff that I know about Sale Sharks, actually?
You've got some... Do we really want to talk about Sale Sharks?
I think I think it's quite funny.
Okay, go on.
Apparently, so one of the Sale's old players said to Diamond, hello, and was met with a four-letter response and then off.
So you get this from? You can't possibly say that.
I can't tell you that. But
so one of the former Sale players who's now, because they
yeah, his first name's
Wasp.
Danny.
They played Wasps. Oh, Danny. Yeah. Danny. So not Rob, not Tommy,
not
James.
No.
They've got a few of those boys.
Hi, Dimes. You just imagine it. Hand to the face. Get out of here.
Well, I just need Phil to upset Steve Diamond next week. And
yeah.
We've got a hat trick then.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, so that was quite interesting. I think probably the most interesting thing about the Sale Wasps game was that story that I just told you.
Fairly predictable result, that, wasn't it? Well, certainly me and Tim predicted that result.
I think I went for a Sale win. just for a bit of banter. Away from home, it wasn't likely. Hats off to Ashley Johnson, who had a spectacular game. And also, it was the league debut for Josh Charmley.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
How did you play?
I don't know. Is the answer. I've only seen really the highlights. So
okay.
This ridiculously was not the televised game. Yeah, no.
Mm. And we did also have Quinn's Bath, which was a good game.
Did you think?
I quite enjoyed that. I thought, so first half was a little bit open, and then second half was an arm wrestle, and it was very cagey that second half. And I really wasn't sure where it was going to land. Fair play to Quinn's in such a tight game.
They are very quietly going about their business.
You are so up and down about Quinn's.
Well, yeah.
Every time they play at home and win,
yep.
You're positive. Well, every time they play away and lose as it happens, very negative. You're calling for John Kingston's head every time they lose.
I am prone to a bit of over-exaggeration when it comes to them. I do still stand by my point.
I'm consistently critical of Quinn's.
Okay.
Okay, well, why don't you tell us why you're consistently critical of Quinn's after a victory against second in the league?
Oh no! I'm not. They can pull off a result at home, and they're without some key players. Like Danny Kerr is very important to the way they play. So I don't see this incarnation of Quinn's ever going beyond a mid-table team. Yeah. I think possibly with Wales, there was a natural break. You had, you know, Warren Gatland went off to the Lions for a year on a sabbatical, and Conor O'Shea went off to Italy. That was you could argue that was the moment to really freshen it up.
Completely agree. I still think that now.
And yeah.
I mean, I think it's a really simple equation, isn't it? How much money do you spend? And if you had a league table of spenders, you would expect Harlequins to be doing far better than they are. The last London club, the last true London club, they spend like they want to win the league, and you know their performances are way below that. So that's my fundamental criticism.
Yeah, they will be releasing a fair chunk of cap space, you would imagine, with Nick Evans at the end of the season.
Do you think he's going to
it'll be interesting. They've got, what's his name, coming in?
Catrachalis.
His name.
The Greek god, Dimitri Catrachalis. From Montpellier.
And Tim Sweel didn't do too badly today.
No, he's slowly kind of getting quite good, isn't he? A few weeks ago, he threw an absolute world-class pass, like... A double miss three or something.
A double miss three?
Yeah.
But can I...
Is that miss six?
Yeah, can I read out their... Let me just read out their 1-6 in their team. And all of them are decent players. Some of them are quite promising young players. But just 1-6 in their pack. And fair play, they pulled off a really good win. But Lambert, Buchanan, Collier, Merrick, Matthews, Chisholm.
Well, you continue Wallace.
That's a bit underworld. Yeah. Wallace Clifford. Yeah, even just say the whole lot.
Do you know what record that pack set today?
Heaviest?
On Sunday.
Youngest?
Heaviest?
No, definitely not heaviest.
Okay. Youngest?
No, not youngest.
Highest average IQ?
The only one, all academy products.
Correct, Tim.
Is that right?
Yeah, the first pack. There's been packs, I think it's 9 different occasions where 7 out of 8, of which Newcastle frequently have done it.
Amazing.
But all 8 from their own academy.
I mean, it is great work. It's tremendous work. And if you look at a team like Sale, if they managed to keep all of their youngsters, they would be a very good club. London Irish
are the best example.
Yeah. The risk of it is sometimes you bring through your players and they're maybe just one step below world class. And that's kind of what you've got at Quinns. But I guess if they're all academy products, they can't be that expensive. And you would get,
the
academy credits.
Yeah, so that should allow you to bring in more guys like Horwill, like the next Nick Evans.
Yeah, but is Horwill the guy? I think this is a pertinent point as well. Is Horwill the guy who's good enough to lift a bunch of average players, be a championship-winning team?
No.
And you need someone better, don't you?
I think it's interesting that you see very few marquee players being locks.
Yeah.
Because they probably do have less influence on the game than, say, a 10 or an 8 or a 9.
Yeah. And also you can get...
They're very important, but, I mean, how big is the drop-off?
Well, who would you rather have? Tom Savage or Horwill?
There's not a huge amount of difference.
There's a huge amount of pay difference, probably.
Yeah, Horwill's probably on double what Savage is.
They should be doing better.
Yeah,
interesting fact that
it is. But that's Moneyball. That's looking at where best value is, and is it lock or is it a fly half or a number
right,
eight
so,
or a scrum half?
Hear me now, believe me later. I think in 1 or 2 years' time, every fly half will either be a academy player or a marquee player. That's the only way that you can do it, and because they're marquee foreign,
and they will all be on 600k plus.
Yeah.
Go back 5 years and the disproportionately high paid position on the field. Remember Richard Cockerell's famous quote? He said, the most important person in my squad is my tight head prop. The second most important person in my squad is the backup tight head prop.
Yeah. I think it's going to go to fly half. I think fly half is going to be disproportionately paid. Huge amounts.
Well, you do see the importance of the best fly halves.
Yeah, well, Ryan Lamb is supposedly on 400k plus at Worcester.
What?
Yeah, he's on a ridiculous contract.
God.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
That cannot be right.
He's on a lot of money to play at Worcester Warriors. A lot of money.
That would put him at one of the best players. He'd be earning more than Chris Robshaw, than Mike Brown, than Joe Mott, like the best of those boys.
It doesn't sound right when you put it in those terms, but yeah, apparently that is...
I think he'd also be on more than George Ford's current deal.
Well, I'll show you... I will show you the text later.
Current deal.
Just
Matt Merritt, just on the Quinns Bath thing, said, he tweeted at Rugby Podcast, I'm watching Quinns versus Bath and have to ask, what is going on with Tom Homer's hair?
What is going on with Tom Homer's hair?
I wouldn't like to try and answer that question.
No idea.
his hair, his business. That's all good.
I know he's ginger. Was there anything else weird about it?
Is it hair, beard, combo?
No. Don't know. Can't, Oh, help, sorry.
Yeah, it's a strong look. Also, looking at have a look back at Rugby Podcast, our Twitter account, because Complete Toffee has sent a shipping container themed bit of Photoshop to us as well.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Good lad.
GB still banging on about sale.
So it's breaking news. And it's loads of shipping containers fallen off a big shipping container transporter.
Yeah.
And it says, breaking news, rugby officiating disaster. Disaster. 30 Aviva Premiership TMOs injured. JB still banging on about sale.
Very good.
Very good.
Worcester Exeter?
So I've seen nothing more than the highlights. And it's a hell of a performance, or looks like a hell of a performance from Exeter. 57-22.
I know that Waldham scored and got a yellow. Ian Whitten seems to have had one hell of a game, which has annoyed me immensely because he was in my fantasy rugby team.
Fantasy rugby draft.
Until I dropped him, and then he goes out and gets 30 points. Thanks.
What I know about this is that Exeter didn't just beat them, as the scoreline suggests. They were worth every bit of that, and they absolutely, it was like men versus boys. The pack in particular just wiped the floor with Worcester, and Exeter are back. They've both Gloucester, although they haven't got the results from it, have used this international window to really regroup and refocus. Exeter have done the same. They looked really, really confused and lacking any coherence a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
They're back.
Yeah.
And
be careful with this. Back. I'm not sure you're right. I think Exeter are going to go into next week's game and probably have a fairly good performance. But then after that, they've got a double header in the Heineken Cup. Now, I'm not entirely sure if their squad strength is up to it. So this might just be a bit of an aberration against a team at the bottom end of the table. Yeah, I think so. I think Exeter... well, actually, do you know who Exeter have next week?
Go on.
At the AJ Bell.
Oh, interesting.
I might go and watch that.
Yeah, I might come with you.
Yeah, so... well, they're going to lose next week. So that's the end of that.
I hope you're right, Tim.
I hope you're right, but I don't think you are. I don't think they're quite what they
now
were.
Listen, I don't want to be accused in the future when they're not top four or anything of people having accused me of saying, you said Exeter were going to do really well. I said at the start of the season, and I still maintain, I said before the season, Exeter have reached their high watermark for the time being, and they're going to go down before they maybe come back up again. I'm still standing by that. I'm not saying that they're going to make some charge, but they look much, much more like the Exeter we knew last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think that will continue.
So I think Exeter, I've said it a million times, but Exeter are a better version of Exeter from last year, which is why they've gone better and better and better throughout the years. And I still think this team is better than the one that played last year, but I just think the teams around them at the top end of the table are better again still. So that would be my argument to why Exeter aren't doing well. Not because they've gone backwards, just because they've not improved as quickly as everyone else. There you go. Deep.
Very deep.
I wanted just to mention quickly a Pro 12 game, which was excellent, which was...
Scarlets.
Yeah, Scarlets-Leinster was a cracking game.
Was it?
Yeah.
The scoreline suggested it was a good game.
Yeah, this was a Friday nighter. And the contrast between this and the
Northampton
game could not be more stark. Just... Scarlets played with real invention. I thought they'd pretty much killed off Leinster, but you know these are two very, very good rugby teams.
Yeah.
Shorn of their internationals too. So yeah, unfortunately I missed the first half because of the atrocities which were committed against rugby at Franklin's Garden. Yeah, it was worth watching. And another odd red card.
Oh, we spoke enough of...
Did you see the red card in the Ospreys game?
No, I heard about it though.
Nope, not seen it.
Yeah, it was a little bit similar to the Kieran Brooks red card.
Okay.
But the most troubling bit, and I wish I could remember the name of the player. I'm going to try and remember the name of the player, but the rolling around on the floor, very enthusiastic level of pain the person was in. It looked a bit distasteful for me. So.
What? Because do you think he was in pain or he wasn't in pain?
I'm accusing him of maybe I don't like accusing people of this because I just don't want to think that it actually happens on a rugby field, but I'd be very, very concerned if he was exaggerating the pain he was in and the sort of level of injury. It would really worry me, but because I don't ever want that to happen in rugby, but I'm just worried that it did happen.
I've just read a comment
in a rugby match
on Ultimate Rugby. It was Rory Thornton. And someone has said that Cravendale have just called with a lucrative job offer for Mr. Thornton because he's been milking it. I see Ospreys number 5 hammering it up like a professional footballer. So that is not good.
It isn't good.
Definitely not good.
I've just had a look at the Pro 12 league table for the first time in six months. Bloody hell, Scotland's a 4.
And Ulster, after winning the first 5 games, are on a terrible run.
I thought Scotland's lost like 3 on the bounce to start with, didn't they?
They might have done, but then won virtually everything since then.
Fair play. Well, there you go. That's enough Pro 12.
The other bit of Pro 12 news was there was a postponed game on Friday night.
Why?
Frozen pitch.
Ridiculous. So, like, if you're a Connacht fan, you might listen to, there's a podcast out there, the Craggy Rugby Pod, right? And they followed Connacht to play in NSI and watched the game in minus 18. Just think about that. Think about that for a second. This wasn't an amateur game. This is a World Rugby sanctioned European match and it's played at minus 18. Pathetic.
Ulster game was postponed. Very disappointingly.
Cool. Shall we go through the predictions for next week then?
Let's do it.
I'll do the Pro 12 ones quickly. Ospreys, Edinburgh, Ospreys, Glasgow, Munster, I'm not sure. Zebra, Scarlets, Connacht, Treviso, Connacht, Cardiff, Ulster.
JB, stop giving so much time to the Pro 12. I can't. I'm not happy with the level of effort and enthusiasm you have for the Pro 12 this week.
Phil, Cardiff, Ulster?
I'm hoping Ulster. God knows.
Do they have all of their players back now?
Rory Best, for example, Hendo, Trimble, they should all be, if they are fit, they should be rested because they've all played.
Is that part of their player agreement thing? Their management strategy?
Well, you have to rest them for a certain number of games anyway, but there's no way I would want those boys playing.
Because, really?
Well, no, because they're going to get injured.
Like, really?
So,
I mean, Hendo's been out until relatively recently.
Well, Trimble and Best, certainly. Yeah. I wouldn't want those boys playing, even if they are fit. This is something that's actually frustrated me with England, the way that they've managed Billy Vunipola. So obviously he's in my fantasy rugby draft team. More than just selfishly, I've been watching him, and I know there have been some comments coming out of the England camp about overloading players like the Jack Noel injury, like the Anthony Watson injury. And Vunipola does an unbelievable amount of work in every single game he plays, and he's played every single minute of every game this season. It was coming.
Yeah, it was, but that's not, you know, that's not a wear and tear injury, is it? It's not like he was carrying an existing precondition.
If you are fatigued, you're more likely to get those injuries.
There's lots of studies into that. But if you're playing in rugby, there must be something like a 5% chance of you going down with the ACL at any time anyway. I mean, you're just exposed to more of those risks the more you play. But that's your job.
It's the fatigue element of it. That's the concern for me.
Maybe. So Cardiff Ulster. Actually, this is the sort of game I'd really like. So the two games that stand out for me this week would be Glasgow Munster. If they've got all their players back, that's going to be a belter. And Cardiff Ulster, that should be a very good game, if they've got the players back. If not, not too bothered.
Yeah.
The other 4 look fairly predictable. Leinster will beat Dragons, Connacht will beat Treviso, Ospreys will beat Edinburgh, and
Scarlets will beat Zebra.
Does it disagree with that, Tim?
No, that's all good for me.
Excellent. That's how we should do the Pro 12 review, is we identify the two games which are going to be good, and we talk about them.
Okay.
The Pro 12 too. And now for the Premiership.
Yes, so Friday night, we could go to this, Sale Exeter.
Well, actually, my other half is in London, so I see no downside to going to this.
Okay.
And then a bit of food afterwards.
I might have to have a weekend off. I've not had a weekend off in so long.
Well,
but I'll go to
you,
the game.
If you wanted to go to... Well, no, Phil, if you want to go to the Sale game, you need to have a weekend off anyway, because it'll take you that long to get home afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you working next weekend, Tim?
I'm not working next weekend, but I'm having a weekend in the Big Smoke because the missus has got her birthday and she's working down here, so...
Ah, very nice.
Very nice. So, yeah, extra Sale. I'm going to go for Sale.
Surprisingly.
Yeah. This is interesting. Bath Saracens at Bath.
12:15 kickoff as well because of the England game.
Does that mean I get to watch it?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Now, today in the warm-up, during the warm-up, Maro Itoje was being put through his paces a bit of a fitness and contact-type session, obviously just seeing how his hand responded.
That's weird.
To a training session.
Do you think that's more for the... They've got Maro Itoje at their disposal whenever they want. They can do it in training, they can do it away from the prying eyes of the public, away from the media. Do you think they just did that to kind of get him out in front of people so we know he's around?
No, it's because all the trainers and conditioners will be at the game, so it's just taking the opportunity to do it.
I disagree with that, because the trainers and conditioners...
They did
there.
The same thing with George Cruz last week.
Yeah.
And they do it with Manu. They, when they're bringing players back in, they start introducing them.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
They always do it.
So what's the logic, then? The logic is...
You've got all the trainers and conditioners
there.
Yeah,
but they've got to be focused solely on their matchday squad, I would say, on a matchday.
Well, you're saying that, but we're giving multiple different examples of them not focusing on that.
Well, no, I'm saying, why are they doing it then? Because the trainers and physios are around all week.
I've got a thought. So through the week... He'll be doing rehab every day and doing training and stuff every day. He'll just be doing that then, and it makes sense to do it when they're all together and working because they're all at the game. And also, if you want to actually look at an added benefit, he's around the squad with the boys on a match day.
Yeah, see, I think it's more to do with that. I think it's more the reintegration part, which make a lot of sense, and also the bit where the fan can get a little bit excited because they can see Maro's
coming back,
hitting a bag. That's what I would say.
That's a happy coincidence from the other side. I think you're looking into this too deep. You're looking for a conspiracy where there is
no, it's definitely not a conspiracy. I just like to know the reason for things. I do not think there's a conspiracy about Maro Itoje's hand. Gloucester versus Bristol.
Give me Gloucester.
Give me Bristol. Yeah, and this is why. This feels like a very Gloucester game to lose to me.
You're right.
A very good performance. Bristol have improved. And I think that I don't think that they'll fear Gloucester in any way.
I understand all that. I'm probably going to be proven wrong, but I think Gloucester might be starting to build. But they're building towards next year, admittedly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, they're going to put in foundations for two or three good signings next year.
Like Carl Ferns.
Yes, that's a good signing.
That is a good signing.
Speaking
of good signings, Liam Williams to Saracens has been confirmed last week.
Yeah.
Not by either club, because, of course, no clubs talk to players before January the 1st, Phil.
Of course. Of course.
Weird, that, isn't it? Because he wants to play fullback. Maitland wants to play fullback. Good is the fullback. And Wiles can play fullback.
And it's also a little bit weird, because you could potentially have international weekends. Like, Saracens are shorn of a lot of players in international weekends, more than any other Premiership club. But you're bringing someone in, it's just another person coming in who you're going to miss during international weekend.
I wonder if there's a little bit of Machiavellian kind of, let's take Liam Williams, because we actually think Lee Halfpenny is more valuable to Wales than Williams, and therefore Gatland's Law. But of course it won't apply to Liam Williams, Gatland's Law.
Because he's not had a market offer.
No, because he's too good.
Ah, yeah, sorry.
You immediately get excluded. And apparently he's turned down more money to stay in Wales.
Well, his girlfriend lives in London, doesn't she?
Does she?
Yes.
Right. Well, George Ford's girlfriend lives in Manchester.
Let's stop saying... Yeah.
Well, just saying. So, when he moves to Manchester...
George Ford's girlfriend lives where?
Manchester.
George Ford's girlfriend... Oh, right, yeah. Well, see, I don't think we should think about players moving
players
because
girlfriends.
Of the geographic location of their girlfriends.
Why? It's important.
I just don't think that would be a factor.
It's absolutely a factor. Family and girlfriends and these things have to be a factor, Tim. How can they not be?
Well, hold on. I haven't examined a picture of this girlfriend yet.
What have we done? What have we done?
In fact,
Tim, put your phone down.
Tim, trust me. Trust me. It is a factor.
Yeah.
Take my word for this. Liam Williams' girlfriend is a factor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look, the lad should have been a Swansea-based scaffolder.
Yeah.
And he's now going out with what looks like a supermodel. It's definitely a factor. If she says she needs to stay in London for a few shoots, yeah, fine. Done.
Yes.
There you go. So, Bristol beat Gloucester, and that'll be that.
Okay, I like your optimism.
I will put £5 on it immediately after this podcast. No, I won't, because you can't get the odds till 2 days out. Never mind. Leicester-Northampton?
Leicester
by quite some distance. Oh, Tim.
Have we lost Tim?
Tim's gone. Newcastle-Harlequins?
This will be interesting. I think Newcastle. Newcastle at home. Harlequins still without their players. Away.
Mm-hmm.
Give me Newcastle.
Yeah, give me Newcastle too. I'm happy with that. Worcester Wasps.
Here we go, he's back.
Hello, Tim.
Tim, just quickly, your comments on Leicester Northampton.
Sorry, I just had to hang up in order to go and confirm that, yes, definitely she is a factor. Anyway. it should be a good game. Leicester at home, right? Or is it? No, hold on.
Leicester at home. Leicester at home.
Yeah, Leicester at home. Leicester at home. They will win. I'm interested to see Manu again. Just have a little look out for the shape he's in. He looks to have shed a few kgs. And I don't know. He looked quite nimble with it. I'm really interested to see how he goes, how he responded to that 20 minutes, and if he has any more time. And
I tell you who's playing well. Adam Thompson is having a quietly effective season.
He looks okay.
He's gone. I think he's on four or five tries now. Well, considering the guy was basically a punchline last year, he's done. I think he's done remarkably well this year.
Okay.
There you go. Leicester. And me and Phil are saying Newcastle over the Harlequins.
Newcastle at home?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with that as well.
And the last one, Worcester versus Wasps. At Worcester.
Ooh.
I think it's...
Wasps.
Obviously, the 4G pitch there is going to be a massive disadvantage to players like Christian Wade. That was a complete joke.
That was good.
Adam Thompson, 2 tries in the Premiership.
Oh, I thought he was on about 4. Never mind. It feels like he's doing reasonably well. Right, so that's...
I think one thing to watch out for with Worcester is they've as we've talked about many times, they've got a really good back line, but they've been lacking centres. And when they have Willison and Teo, who just both happen to be in my fantasy rugby draft squad. I think they could find they just need that 10. They need a 10. They need either a marquee 10 or an incredible academy 10, don't they, JB?
Well, that's your only option from now on. Or they can play Ryan Lamb 450k or whatever he's on.
So they have got this lad, Shilcock, who played a bit of 15 when Pennell was injured and has now been playing a bit of 10 and kicking sticks, who's 19, 20-year-old academy product.
Do you want to wrap us up, Tim? I think we're done.
No, you crack on, mate. I've been working all day today. I'm getting really tired now, if I'm honest. I mean, this Wednesday, obviously, I've been working all Wednesday.
It's been a long Wednesday.
It really has.
It's been a very long Wednesday.
All right, boys. Well, you've been listening to the midweek domestic Avicii podcast. In fact, should I put on music? No, I won't. Find us on Twitter at Rugby Podcast. Leave your reviews on iTunes. Get in contact. Watch the Facebook Live. Buy some razors from Cornerstone. Do all that good stuff. But most importantly, let the boys play. We'll see you next Sunday.
Oh, yes.
After an England win, probably.
Hopefully.
Some good Avicii Premiership rugby. See you on Sunday.
Let the boys play.
Let the boys play, JB.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.